It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Online at Jane Addams, that's ADDAMS books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm pleased to welcome Zoya Wu, who is the Urbana artist whose watercolor, Devotion, has just been chosen as the signature image for the 2026 Boneyard Arts Festival that is organized by our vibrant and much appreciated Arts Council, 40 North, 88 West. Zoya, you are Urbana born and bred, and you grew as an artist through Urbana High School, then Parkland, and then the Minneapolis College of Art and Design. And there's a whole story there, but I know people are very excited about the Boneyard. And yes, April is going to come. We are going to survive February and March, and then there will be this beautiful arts festival. So let's talk a little bit about your watercolor, Devotion. It has a sister piece, The Lighthouse. Don't you call the two of them as a pair, "We will make it through the storm together"?
I think it describes what both of them mean pretty well.
Describe Devotion and how you came to paint that. And you have a fairly big backstory to that painting, so I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, so Devotion came around when I had just moved back from Minneapolis to Champaign-Urbana, and I was kind of dealing with these feelings of sad about my past and to figure out how I was going to move forward to the future. Devotion is a piece. The two herons represent my connections and relationships that I had in the past. They're encased in this bright light, which is kind of showing this island of safety. And outside of them is a dark, kind of foreboding atmosphere. Really, a lot of what it was about was my relationships. And I mean, there's also some symbolism. They're holding up a magnolia branch, which is the symbol of perseverance. What they kind of are doing is holding on to that idea that through whatever comes to them from the future, they will make it through it. Things that you've experienced.
That's a sentiment that I think is particularly important to us all right now. And I would imagine that was part of what really caught the attention of the judges who selected your piece. Tell us a little bit about how you found your way as an artist, the people who were important, and your experience with different forms and different media.
When I've been drawing ever since I was a very, very little kid. My mom basically, it was this like the one thing that you can focus on. You can just sit there for hours and hours and paint. And if you need to be entertained, we just give you a sketchbook and some crayons and that's, you're good. So art has really been the focus of my life since, I mean, I don't really know anything else. When it started out, I would submit things to the little local festivals, you know, around here, the Insect Fear Film Festival, things like that. And then I went to Parkland, was very inspired by some of the teachers there, particularly the teacher Joan Stoltz. She was fabulous. She really encouraged the exploration of gesture, painting, which I think really encouraged me to continue using that of expression. And I transferred to Minneapolis College of Art and Design. It was a really, really wonderful experience. Just kind of getting exposed to many, many different types of creatives throughout the whole process. I feel like painting was the thing that really made me feel, you know how if you get in the zone with something and you just kind of forget that time exists outside of it? That's what it feels like when you're painting. You're just like, oh, you can kind of like look up and like, oh, I guess it's midnight now. I don't know what happened. You know what I mean? I use a lot of different types of media. Like I'll do colored pencil, I'll do acrylic painting. Watercolor and gouache are kind of my main focus. It's like 80% super planning and then 20% just kind of allowing what happens to happen. You can find that it creates really, really beautiful, unexpected instances that, you know, you could have never planned, which is really exciting. I find that acrylic painting and it seems more literal to me.
Devotion is a watercolor. How does the medium of watercolor feel to you? Because watercolor is difficult. It happens fast, and you have to be in control, and you have to work with surprises. Tell me a little bit about how watercolor is for you.
That's one of the things that I really, really kind of like about it. I like the aspect of controlling how wet the paper is, you know, because that's a really big, timing is a really big thing. So I kind of liken it to almost you compose the music and then you perform it. Actual act of painting is the performance itself, and the planning before is the composing. So I like that you plan a lot and then you still deal with unexpected things and then you improvise.
Well, the painting devotion is very intricate. There's a tremendous amount of detail and subtlety. Did you do many versions of it before you came to the final?
Oh my gosh, yes, I did. I did so many iterations. To begin with, I kind of was tackling a lot of effects that I'd never tried to do before. Kind of like the ripples in the water and the cloudy sky and stuff. Those were things that I'd never even attempted to do before. So sheets and sheets of watercolor paper. I was just trying out different techniques. You know, I would have like a little paper next to me, like writing down, like I have a stopwatch, writing down the amount of time that it would take to get the certain like saturation of paper to get the certain effect, you know? Even when it got to the larger paper, I think I had to restart it two, three times before I actually got to where I was like, okay, you know what? We have to get past this stage to actually get to the final piece, you know? I'm actually really glad I did. There was a lot of struggle in creating it. It kind of felt like a conversation, like I was having a conversation with the piece and we were trying to figure out the compromise together. It definitely gave me a headache. And I actually asked for advice from some fellow artists, and it was really nice to get their input because what they told me basically is that I was doing too much and that what I needed to do was just get rid of some of the things that I was adding there. And it just made it so much more powerful. And I would have just thought, oh, you have to add more and more and more and make it more complex when sometimes making it simpler is the solution to the composition.
When you came back to Urbana from Minneapolis, you found an art community, and you told me that you had your first show was at the Anita Purvis Nature Center.
Yeah, well, actually, that's where I created my piece Devotion and the sister piece, The Lighthouse. I was doing a lot of watercolor and gouache, which is kind of a similar thing to watercolor. It has a different binder, so it's more opaque. It's still water-based. I was also showing acrylic paintings there. I think I even had some that were a mixture of digital and pencil, and you know, kind of a mixture of digital piece and traditional medium.
Nature-based.
Yes, they were all nature-based. I definitely have my focus on nature-based object matter. I think that it's a really wonderful way to explore the inner world and maybe more complex ideas without it be about specific person in a specific place. Because I feel like often if you're using people, it becomes about person as opposed to that as a metaphor. And I also really love nature and animals. I mean, ever since I can remember, I've always gotten along much better with animals than people.
The detail of the birds, particularly the birds on your website, were what I was drawn to. Your piece, Devotion, with the two herons, and then there's a kestrel piece, which is absolutely gorgeous. And the details of birds' feathers are so hard to capture. You do a wonderful job.
I appreciate it. It didn't come naturally, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
A lot of studying anatomy and how feathers are actually arranged on the animals was needed. The kind of nice thing about using watercolor to describe birds' feathers is that they're very easy to simplify in, where when you're kind of painting something that's rabbit or something, there's less locked out shapes that are just very obvious, you know, to use to describe something.
You told me that through your show at Anita Purvis, you were introduced to 40 North.
Was the director at the Vanna, she was very kind, and she got me in touch with 40 North because she thought that it would be really good for me to have more opportunities to show my art. Experience with 40 North has actually been really, really wonderful. I think they're a great resource for local art. They do a lot of work. Really have a utility box in Lincoln in Florida with my artwork on it. And it features my pet bunny Basil, which I'm very excited. Now I get to be like, "You're famous, Basil." He's right behind me. So, you know.
I love that Lightbox project. They're so much fun, and a lot of new ones have sprung up around town just recently.
Yeah. It's so nice to have something that, you know, maybe before would be there, maybe not the most attractive looking thing. And now it's suddenly it's something beautiful that you're excited to see. You know what I mean?
They're fascinating. And they're, you know, there's four sides. There's a top. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of space to cover with art. You also said that you meet regularly with a group of artists in town for critique and conversation. How did that come about?
Well, actually, it was during my first Anita Purvis Nature Center. Someone that came to my show, his name was Jose. He's a wonderful muralist, and he is really, really good at connecting people. It's something that I find really wonderful about him. But he started this group. It's colloquially called the Drink and Draw. Every other Thursday, we meet at a different place. We just kind of get together, and it's grown to be a pretty big group now. There's usually at least 20 people there. It's a wonderful opportunity, especially for people who are maybe a bit shy, but still interested in art, because you can go there, and if you don't want to say anything, tons of people are just sitting there drawing and painting. So it's a nice way to like be in public, but also not feel pressured to lead a conversation or something like that. Plus, it's always nice to be able to get input from artists who have very different skills and viewpoints than you do.
Now, you have a day job that actually fits quite well with your art. So what is that?
I am a custom picture framer at International Galleries in Lincoln Square. I got into picture framing in Minneapolis and I fell in love with it. And so when I came here, I was like, let's find another picture framing job. Seems like a good idea, you know? Because one of the wonderful things about picture framing is that you get to talk to local artists who bring in their things for framing. You get to see art all day. You get to work on skills if you're ever interested in showing your artwork. You know, like I personally make all the frames for my artwork and do all the mats and all of those things. It's a wonderful way to increase your skills, especially with measuring stuff. I used to never think that like straight lines or measuring were important. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, can I do straight lines and measure things? Like, it's crazy. The other really cool thing about international galleries is that it is a space that allows me to show and sell my work. There's a lot of other local artists there that have stuff for sale, and it's kind of like all around one of like a perfect job for someone that's into creation and artwork.
It is. It's beautiful. I have looked through the big bins of local art, and they're wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're affordable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not going to break the bank, most likely.
Yeah. How do you find the time and the inspiration to nourish your own art? You have a busy life and you work. Do you have a daily practice?
I try and time every day to sit. I mean, sometimes it's harder than other days, but usually I find that if I can be like, okay, just promise me you're going to do f just sit at your drawing desk in the studio for 5 minutes and work on something. And that usually translates into spending more and more time on something. And it's really like the getting started part that I think is the hardest. Time after work, I have time on the weekend. So, but I usually like to spend it on.
Are you usually working on more than piece, one piece at a time?
Yeah, I only am working on 3 pieces. I think that working on multiple pieces at the same time is a wonderful practice because you can get so in your head if you're working on one thing that you're like, this has to be the best thing that I've ever made. This has to be perfect. When you're working on multiple things, each one of those pieces can inform the other pieces that you're working on. Suddenly, each one isn't the sole focus, it's not as precious. So you're able to actually see when it's done. It's less likely for you to overwork things, and stuff that you learn from doing the other pieces can inform how you move forward with the other ones. Definitely suggest working on multiple pieces if you can.
Where do you get the inspiration for the subject of your pieces?
A lot of how I get the inspiration for the subject matter of my pieces is that it's my way of processing complicated or difficult emotions. You know, the ones that kind of keep you up late at night and you're like, I can't sleep. So instead of using that in that energy to be like, oh, okay, I guess I'm just gonna not sleep then, you can transform that into something that will help you process those feelings. Sometimes it will be a representation of the problem, but it can also be a representation of the solution that you're hoping to go towards. It's, I think, a wonderful way to assess difficult emotions.
Your signature Boneyard piece, Devotion, is two great blue herons. They're great blue herons, right? Now, how did those birds come to you when you started thinking about doing a piece?
Specifically, it was because in Minneapolis, it's the place of the, what is it, 10,000 lakes. So I would see blue herons there all the time. It is definitely about, you know, my relationships that I have there. So it's like especially about my part is still in Minneapolis. It reminded me of, you know, there's these two birds that together and are very close. We would always see blue herons when we would be out in our walks and like around the lakes.
Back to the Boneyard. Will you have your own booth at the Boneyard?
I am going to show International Gallery. Then also, I'm probably going to show in a couple of smaller like group shows around town. A couple of people have asked me to also put some pieces in those. So definitely, I'm like, okay. Got to make a bunch of stuff, you know?
And frame it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's such a nice thing about being able to frame things is that you're just like, oh, okay, I don't have to deal with all the little because I know how to do it myself.
What's the process of how Boneyard gets shaped? Because there are so many different places where art is displayed and people bring together a small group to show at different places.
Personally, I made a lot of connections through the group that meet with every other Thursday. Everyone in the community is very kind and helpful, and they have reached out to me wanting me to, join the group show.
Do you know where those shows will be?
So I know the rough estimate of where I think one of them's in downtown Urbana above where Encanto used to be. I don't know the actual address though.
There's a lot of planning for this festival.
It's very impressive. Every time you just kind of the city comes to life and there's so many things to do and see. It's really cool.
You are early in a career, I would say. Do you have thoughts about directions you want to go, and if you want to have more time for your art and how you'd like to get it out in the world? You have quite a beautiful website, and I will share that address with people so they can see you. But you have a very distinctive name. It's very easy to find you.
It's very easy to
So
find me.
Zoya, yeah. I don't know, what do you think about how you want your art to grow?
Interesting question. I know that I would like to try and enter into more opportunities like that are around town, and then maybe even expand it to more reaching. I do think that, a lot of my career has just ending things that have worked along the way. Having gallery show, I'd love to do a mural sometime. Maybe like tutoring people in it would be really cool too. I really do like working with
Would
younger
you like
artists.
to teach art?
I think that'd be really cool. I've definitely spent enough time, learning about it. I think I actually could really help some people. Like that was one of the nicest things about being a show. That people are interested in the process. And it was really, really nice to be able to help like aspiring watercolor artists with like all of their questions and being able to, kind of su make suggestions on, like, especially with watercolor, like the paper that you use is very important. And
Tell us about what you're working on now. Is there a favorite piece that you're spending time with?
I am working on, it's actually the piece that I was working on in the Boneyard has a photo of you that they put up on the website or whatever. I'm working on a kind of a bigger painting of these two cats at night. I've been really fascinated with, let me see how do we say this? Oh my God. You know how animals, when it's dark outside, their eyes will reflect like really bright colors?
Yes.
So I've been really fascinated by that sort of light source, especially in context of what is it called? Like nighttime trail cams. So like that very sort of flat, but it almost seemed it's a very specific lighting style. So trying to kind of replicate that, definitely focusing on the glint on inside of is that I just think it's so beautiful. It can be so many different colors, and it's just so striking.
Devotion is a night scene, the herons at night. Was there a way that you wanted to portray them in that kind of lighting? Well, the moon is there.
Moon is there, and also the way that it's kind of glowing the herons, So in a way, they are the light. If you look on the water, there's like a radiating light source. So it's not quite the same thing as something being directly dark. I haven't really worked in kind of night scenes without like a direct light source before. I really like the idea of how flash photography flattens things. I like how, like, because the shadows are basically directly behind you. So I really like that kind of lighting style, which I'm trying to figure out how to paint. I think that the devotion is more of a very like, I'm sure some of the light sources could be thought and like we're like, wait, where is this light source actually coming from? But I think it's a more intuitive way of creating a scene for sure than
A lot of it is about mood, and you definitely create the mood. Well, Zoya, this is the time for our introduction, and I so appreciate your being willing to talk about this because I know the community is going to be thrilled to see your piece. It's up on the website now at 40 North, and it will be all over town, and that's going to be something that we will all gather together and look forward to this weekend in April.
So excited. Yeah, just over the moon to be able to see my work up in bigger places. And it definitely, it's an amazing opportunity. I feel very blessed.
I imagine it's going to be an opening for you that things will come because of this, that you have no idea what they will be.
Honestly, already there have been some things going on that I was not expecting. So I can only think that this is just the beginning.
That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. With my thanks to Zoya Wu, the Urbana artist now featured for her signature painting for the 2026 Boneyard Arts Festival. You can see more of Zoya's work at her website, www.zoyawu, that's ZOYAWU.com, and also on her Instagram page, instagram.com/ZoyaKW. Follow plans for this year's Boneyard Arts Festival on the 40 North website. Presented annually every spring by 40 North, 88 West, the Boneyard Arts Festival is a 3-day event showcasing the broad range of creative activity flourishing in our community. This is off of the 40 North website. Its goal is to bring together local artists, businesses, and organizations for a special event showcasing the art of Champaign County. This year's festival will be April 10th to 12th. The Boneyard is more than a traditional arts walk. It's a unique countywide celebration that takes place in over 90 venues across town. Traditional venues, theaters, cafes, galleries, and museums, and non-traditional in salons and retail stores, and brings together the work of hundreds of artists. Sculptors, weavers, painters, photographers, and other visual artists join musicians, actors, dancers, poets, and performers of all kinds in sharing their creativity throughout Champaign, Urbana, the U of I campus, Rantoul, Homer, Mahomet, St. Joseph, and Sydney. An aspect of the Boneyard Festival that I have particularly enjoyed is an invitation to artists to team up in pairs and work collaboratively to produce a unique piece for the festival. This expands the creative process for artists to spark ideas off each other, different ways of thinking and seeing, and sometimes markedly different media. So look for that particularly. Last year, I think they were focused at the Orpheum. I'm not sure where it will be this year. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring 3 floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.